Hello and welcome to the Even Me podcast. This is your host, Morph Speaks.
And your girl, Kim.
And we are back. Had some more technical difficulties again, but we are back and we have another topic for this week. So the topic is, do you think all relationships need to go through some type of therapy, whether it be, you know, therapy with a therapist or therapy with a family counselor or something like that? They may be exactly the same, but Kim got a lot of information on this, so let's go.
Well, personally, I think really we do need that type of counseling, because if you be with someone for so long, they end up changing. You know, you gonna change, right? You know, your facial, you know, your body appearance change. You change mentally. So therefore, you need to just like go to therapy to learn to deal with the new person that you're dealing with. And I know in the Black and Hispanic community, we don't need therapy. That's what we always been told. But you do, because you... what you feel like in some relationships, some relationships you'd be like, you know, reluctant to bring up things. And maybe in certain things you would bring them up in a therapy session, you know, because that'll bring it out. It's a safe space to have that discussion and get that over with. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of time you don't want to say anything because it's a scary topic to talk on. You just sweep it under the rug, a lot of stuff. But once you talk about it, I think that, and then have a referee that's neutral, that's awesome.
Yeah, and we spoke about that before. I mean, this is not a new topic for us about therapy and things like that. Like you said, in the Black and Latino community, you know, we all feel that therapy is for punks. Therapy is for people who don't know what the hell to do with their life. But it's not. I mean, people got to understand that therapy is not just for people who are hurting. It's for somebody who's trying to get over certain situations, you know, whether it be physical abuse, mental abuse, or, you know, the death of a close family member, or, you know, dealing with an unruly child. Because, you know, dealing with somebody with issues, you know, let's say a relationship, is a whole nother, you know, can of worms, because that person has an issue. They bring the issue to you. That issue burdens you and starts to affect you, you know, more than you really know it, you know. And in any given case, you know, some type of therapy is going to have to happen, because it's going to take a mental toll on you, and you're going to feel a certain way. And every day, you know, it drains you. You know, you don't have to be necessarily drained, you know, physically or mentally, you know, because of, you know, a physical activity, you know, just your brain wondering, your brain, you know, trying to, you know, loss of sleep. You know, we just spoke about that, loss of sleep, because you're constantly trying to deal with situations and thinking, you know, this is going to happen. This is what happened before. You know, what if this person has someone else? What if, you know, all the wonderings you do, your brain is like an engine. If you don't relax the engine, you know, and give it, you know, some type of treatment, you know, you have to give an engine like oil so it can continue to work and function correctly. You're not gonna roll it, you know, till the wheels fall off. Your brain has to like chill out. That's what sleep is for. Sleep is to, you know, bring your whole body to like a dormant stage so you can relax and refresh yourself and wake back up the next day. Right, Kim?
I mean, yes. So definitely, especially raising kids, you need to get a peace of mind and to deal with kids. Sometimes you need therapy for that, you know, because kids, it's dealing with them now versus our generation is a whole different beast, a whole different ball game. Also, if you're dealing with a relationship and people can't let go of past, you know, yeah, you can say you love me and you care for me, but you're putting me back in the past when we should let that go and move forward. You started bringing up the past. What's his name from Lion King, the little monkey, and he hit Simba in the head. It's like, oh, that hurt. It's in the past. So, like, you can't do it. You can't change the past. You can't. You can only move forward. And if you want to move forward with that person, you have to get therapy for yourself and therapy with that person to work out whatever happened and the cause, the root cause. And I'm starting to see that a lot, because I'm going to just say, in order for me to get new things, I got to stop going in the same pattern. And I think I go in the pattern because it's comfortable, because it's safe, but it's not healthy. You know, I'm going to go, I attract the same guys, or I go back to the same guy. And it's not healthy for me, you know, and it's like to the point you be like, I'm just done. And it's ridiculous. So, it's not a healthy atmosphere, you know, and, I like how one of my pastors, associate pastor, said, the man sets the tone, the woman sets the atmosphere. And if his tone is fucked up, how can I set the atmosphere? So I'm gonna be messed up. And all this stuff they talking about, happy wife, happy life. No, the man need to be happy too. Cause if I'm just happy and he over there got all this anger build up in him, it's just gonna make him eventually unleash it on me a different type of way. So, I'm learning that I don't want to deal with that. And especially if you know, people accuse a lot of people of some things that happen and it's not even true. They brought that up in their mind. They don't want to talk about it because that's what they believe. So therapy helps you get off your chest what you've been through or what you went through with this relationship. And if you really want to make it work, you got to kind of see how can it be fixed.
Yeah, and I mean to that point, like you said, happy life, happy wife, you know, or vice versa, happy wife, happy life. Like you said, it is not. Yes, it's all about the woman you married or your spouse, but also, like you said, it's also the man needs to be happy. So, let's say you know you're in a situation where the woman does everything the man wants, but then the man doesn't want to do what the woman wants. To me I feel that's unfair. It should be mutual. You know, you should want to do what I want to do, and I should want to do what you want to do, you know, at any given time, just to make sure we are both happy, you know, because just doing everything I like will seem, you know, a little one-sided. Doing everything you like when you like it or the way you like it, you know, it seems one-sided. Just with the marriage, you know, the relationship, where you go out to eat, where you, how you have sex, how often you have sex, what type of sex, you know, also, you know, how you visit, you know, parents, in-laws, and things like that. Because if it's one-sided, if you want to go to my in-laws' house when you feel like it, but when you want to go to your mom's house or your dad's house, you feel a certain way, you know, I feel that that's not cool, because, you know, we should want to go to each other's house. Or if you want to go eat Taco Bell today and have mud butt, but but tomorrow you want to eat Whataburger and I say no, let's not do that, you know. Or, you know, the cooking, you know, I've said it in the past, I cook from time to time. I don't like to cook often because I feel in my eyes that when I cook, it doesn't taste right. But when people taste it, they're like, oh, it's good. You know, they may be lying, I don't know. But I just feel like you know, when especially like you, good example is when you cook food, you're already full from cooking. Mm-hmm. You know, you really don't feel like eating unless you cooked it, you know, you prepared it, you know, 2 hours ago. Then you want to eat and sit down and have dinner with the family. It's kind of a different situation. But like I said, you know, that situation is one situation. But then the other situation is, like you said, you know, you accept me back, but then you decide to throw everything in my face. Mm-hmm. You know, and we said this before, you know, because that happened to me. You know, don't accept me and say you forgive me, but you're not going to forget everything. Because, I mean, yeah, you can forget certain things, but, you know, don't bring up little things in the past, you know, or treat me a certain type of way because I'm doing something new, and you're going to just bring it back up and say, well, you did that with this person, and that's why you want to do that. No, I'm doing that because now I'm accustomed to doing something, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Let people be. If you gonna constantly bring something up, and you gonna we don't forget, right? We forgive, but we never forget. That's just human, right? And that's understandably. But if a person decided to move on, and they healing themselves from this relationship y'all been through, and you don't want to get therapy, you don't want to fix it, but you want to always, when you know something is not right, you want to call out that, let that person be. If that's what you have to go to win an argument or win a fight, let that person move on with their lives, and you move on with yours. And don't try to include nobody in your threesome. And that's the thing of it is, because you know when you got a good person, you, being that it's money, being that it's maybe they take care of the house or whatever it is, you're trying to keep them there. That's not fair to that person. And I'm guilty of that. I ain't gonna lie. I was that type of person. Okay, I know what you have to offer. I see it. So when it was right to me, yeah, I can't deal with all the argument or whatever, but when it's right to me, I'm gonna try to keep you around because I see that's my comfort zone. I know that I will be pampered a little bit, but dealing with all the bull crap, I think, I'm not gonna say no relationship needs to end, but it don't need to continue if nobody wanna go get help. That's just causing, that's sickness right there. That's mentally draining. And that's all y'all gonna do. You're not gonna get anywhere. You're gonna blame that person. That person gonna blame you. But it's just like our next part coming up. Do we, you know, listen to understand, or we listen to respond? And every relationship, I think it was, is listen to respond. Never listen to understand. And so I got to the point where I never listened to understand either, because it was always who can get the one up on somebody, you know, who can be beat that person to the punch, who can bring up that person past and what they did. So nobody's perfect. And I know I always talked about the broke ducks, and I don't need no more broke ducks. Yeah, I'm gonna find some ducks with some little, you know, he may be slew footed or whatever. But I understand that, but mentally I'm not willing to deal with that. Is so draining. That's the way I think, mentally and emotionally being drained and abused that way is almost as bad as being physically abused, because your body is tired and the person is not listening and to understand what you're going through, trying to tell them, and you're probably not listening either to understand them. So why not leave that relationship? Or if y'all not gonna get counseling, it ain't gonna do nothing but get worse. And then there becomes cheating, then there becomes the verbal abuse, it becomes a lot. I'm just saying that I've been experiencing this on and off for 3 years. And it's like, oh my God, just leave me the hell alone, you know? Let me heal me. Like, I was going through my purge season. That felt so good because I didn't include nobody else. The whole time people was thinking, oh, you don't want to be in a relationship, you don't want to have sex. No, this is time to purge me, to cleanse all that negative stuff that was put in my head and that I'd put myself through. I ain't gonna blame nobody, just them alone. I'm blaming myself too. I had to purge through that, just to purge. And as soon as I step out of my little purge, see the bright light, boom, get hit by the broke duck again. And I'm like, oh my God, because he was suited up, but he still had the problems behind it. And yeah, that's why I was like, last night I was thinking about this. I'm like, people need therapy. They don't know. They need therapy for themselves to fix them. And they need therapy when they get into a relationship. And it may seem crazy, you get in a relationship with a person after 6 months, and that person say, hey, let's go to therapy together and see where we're going in this relationship. I'm not going to force you. You don't force me. We're just going to see where it goes. We ain't got to bring up our personal issues, but what we do and do not like with each other. Even if it's just, you know, you go into a singles ministry at church and you talking, y'all singles dating or whatever, and you talking to someone at church. You don't have to pay for this 6 months counseling or whatever. But that's just my thing, you know, I've been experiencing, and I'm sick and tired. Like, Jesus, this is so draining. Because you do want that relationship. I don't know who says that they don't want a relationship. That's not. We was built to be a someone companion. And you want that. But what are you willing to put up with? That's what you asked me before. And I'm not willing to put up with this bullshit. It's bullshit. Excuse my language. I can't put up with it. I can't. It's just too. It's self-induced stress. There you go. My daughter said that.
So I guess let me read the question, since you just threw it out there and then pose it as a question.
Okay. Yes.
So the second part of the podcast is, are you listening to understand or are you listening to respond? And this works in relationships. It works in real life situations. It works, you know, in your professional life, because a lot of time, like you said, people just listening just to respond, give a response, you know, or they're not listening to the full conversation. They're just saying, oh yeah, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh. You know, they're not really paying attention to like the meat of the issue that they're that person's trying to tell you. And I'm guilty of that. You know, sometimes, you know, certain people, like, let's say you already know the answer to like a certain situation. You're already ready to respond. Like, you're waiting for that person to stop talking so you can, you know, respond, because you know what the answer is. You know, that's one situation. But then you have a situation like, let's say, Kim, you come to me and you give me this full blown 20-minute story, and you're telling me about a situation you had, and I just say, oh yeah, uh-huh, yeah, yeah, okay. You know, basically I just responded to you, show no empathy. I wasn't really paying attention to what you're saying, you know, and I showed you no kind of, you know, good feedback. Now, if you give me a 20-minute story and I listen to what you said and I give you, you know, some good feedback and kind of guide you and give you a response, a resolution, you know, then I was actually listening, you know, to understand what you're saying. If I'm just telling, girl, don't pay attention to that, you know, whatever, you know, I'm just listening to respond. I'm just responding back because you're waiting for a response. You're waiting for an answer, but, you know, it may not be the right answer from the correct person. Maybe you're talking to the wrong person, you know, and that happens in relationships. You know, I would say it's mostly men. I'll take the blame for the men right now. You know, most men will listen to a 40-minute spiel, you know, their spouse or girlfriend or fiance has said, and they're like, oh yeah, I'll take care of it later. You know, it's, that's not what the woman is looking for. They're looking for an answer for every situation they just spoke about. If they said, you know, well, last week you forgot to take out the trash, and this week you forgot to take out the trash, and then today I come home, there's no food. You know, you didn't cook. I've been home all day, or you've been home all day, and I've been out, you know, working. You know, they're looking for a response for each thing. Okay, I'm sorry I didn't take out the trash last week. This week I'll be taking it out. You know, maybe, you know, I forgot, I overslept, or, you know, whatever, you know. And then that's just one part of the response you need to give them. Now you got to, you know, basically, you know, dissect the situation. Okay, you gave me two situations. I'm going to answer the second one. Hey, you know, sorry, I forgot to cook. I was busy, you know. They won't, I'm not going to say it won't happen again, because something's always going to happen again. I'll just do better and make sure that, you know, I plan something or do something the next time. So like that, you know, you're not coming home at 6-7 o'clock at night and having to cook for me and you or something. You know, if it's kids involved, then you're going to do something, you know. You know, a man or a woman is going to find something to throw together or go pick up something real quick. If it's just a you know, man and a woman in a relationship and no one else in the home, you know, it's simple stuff. So, I mean, that's one situation. So, like, let's say a work situation, you know, when your supervisor or your manager comes to you, it's the same thing. You know, they're looking for, you know, not a response. They're looking for you to be listening, understanding, and making sure you're comprehending what they're saying so that situation doesn't happen again. Or you know, you take control and you do the, you know, let's say a task, you do the task correctly, and they don't have to reiterate the situation again or tell you the whole, you know, the whole backstory to get you to perform, you know, your whatever you're supposed to perform at that time correctly. You know, so I mean, that's professional and personal. But, you know, in a relationship, there's other situations. I know, Kim, me and you were talking about it, and I know you said you were guilty of it. I know I've been guilty of it. You know, certain times, yeah, you know, if someone's nagging, you're going to get to the point where you're just going to, yeah. I mean, at that point, I get it. Because if it's the same situation that's happened for the last 2 to 3 weeks, you know, and you know it's coming, or it's a situation where this person is a habitual liar, you know it's coming, you're just going to say, okay, yeah, whatever. You say this all the time. You know, I don't care to respond to, you know, a question that I answered 2 weeks ago and then last week, and then now here again, you're asking the same thing. How do you feel, Kim?
My thing of it is always deal with people with alcohol abuse. And so when you're dealing with somebody with dealing with another where something that takes over their mind, you know, you have to endure a lot. And I'm not saying that person is bad, you know, no, you know, just because they have drinks or whatever, they smoke weed or whatever they do, they're not a bad person. But what they do in turn to you is bad, you know. And I've dealt with that where it becomes repeat type of stuff. I'm gonna say it again. I always say, I never say I'm sorry unless I'm sincerely, you know, I'm sincerely trying to correct what I've done wrong. I don't like saying sorry because I may end up doing it again. Like, I have the issue where I'm supposed to tell a person that, hey, I made it to work. And it'll be on my mind when I'm pulling in to the job, but I'm like trying to get this out. Okay, I got this email just popped up on my phone. Let me go in there and hurry up and answer to this email because I don't want 100 people on it. So I may forget that, and it may come up, like I look at my phone 20 minutes later after I got to work. Oh man, I forgot to respond to this person. Hey, I made it to work, forgot to respond. I mean, that's just normal of forget. And there you go. When they get a little liquor in them or whatever, they little, you know, substitute of liquid courage or weed courage. I don't know what courage. Then they're going to say, oh, yeah, you didn't do this and you didn't do this. And I told you I wanted you to do this. Wait. I know it's common courtesy to let you know I made it safely, especially being here in Houston. I know that. I did, everything on my mind, I did eventually say it. So I'm trying to make that change. I'm not going to apologize for it at all, but because it may happen again. I may walk in the house, run into the restroom, and 10 minutes later let you know I made it home. But people do stuff that benefits them to be able to get their anger off on you. So it could be the simplest thing you do just because they still got some pent up anger issues, you become their punching bag for them. And I feel like that's another thing. You're not listening. You don't respond to the way acceptance. You're responding to, like, I just went out here and murdered 12 people and sitting on this end of the street eating a lollipop waiting on the police, and you had to come defend me. That's what it seems like. Like, I did something so severe that is a problem. So I think relationships should be, to me, I feel like, yeah, we can be serious. We got to take care of the house. But you should be able to laugh. Man, with everything going on in the world today, people killing each other. We don't know if we're going to have a shutdown. The government going to shut down. What's going to happen? Everything that's going on, there should be a point where you just come and laugh and joke. And just have a moment of peace, because there's already peace out there. Just have a moment of peace in your own home. And so I guess me and a goldfish and a dog together, we can be in peace than me and a man. For right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in a relationship that was an issue. Because, some people don't understand. Some people go to work and there's not 50 emails waiting. There's not a manager that is waiting. They go into work, there's nothing to do. They get started, they'll look at their emails, and their brain is clear, and they already know that they're going to basically, this day I'm going to call this person, I'm going to do this, do that. I got this situation coming up. They don't understand that everybody's situation is different. Like me, I go into work, when I was a supervisor, I would go into the field and I could, when I get to my first stop, when I look at the laptop after I finish my first meeting, my virtual meeting that we would have, I can, pause for a second, send you a text, let you know, hey, I'm good. I made it to work. I wasn't going to a physical building, I was going, to the field. So I could do that. And then I'll start my drive and go to, wherever I need to. But certain situations, when I was going into the office every day, there's 50 people already there. So one person's going to pull you this way. One person's going to pull you that way. Hey, I need you to do this. Everybody's situation is in dire need, of being handled first. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks their situation comes first, and then that person is waiting. I get it. They're waiting for, yes, you can send a quick response or something like that. But, like you said, and it's happened to me before, how many times have you said, hey, I need to text such and such, right? And you're like, all right, I'm going to text them. Or someone texts you and you're like, okay, I'm on a call. I'll send them a text in a little bit. In your mind, you completed that already. Mm-hmm. But you never did. And like, when you look at it like 5 hours later, you're like, shit, I never even responded. So like, when you respond to them, it sounds like a dumb excuse, but it's the truth. Look, I meant to respond to you, but I guess I never hit send. But half of the time, it's not that you didn't hit send. It's just you forgot to go back into the message and respond to them. You know, it's I'm very guilty of that, because like I'll see somebody, or like, let's say you call me, right? And we got something to do, and I don't pay attention. I start working or I start doing something, you know, I get pulled away. I get pulled into a meeting. You know, this such and such person wants me to do something right then and there. I'm, you know, educating or whatever. I didn't forgot you called me. And then I look at the phone again, like 3 or 4 hours later, you're calling me. I'm like, shit, I was actually supposed to call Kim back. I didn't even call her. And those situations, you know, I'm saying this to say certain people have to understand that they're not always going to be the most important person at that given time. If you have a work situation, if you have, you know, kids, they're going to be second, you know, second fiddle, or they're going to be the second, you know, in place, because you have something else in front of you. You know, it's going to happen. So like a person coming back, you know, a week later because they're drunk and they want to bring up a situation that happened a week ago. Dude, you could have said something a week ago. We could have hashed this out before you got your liquid courage in you, and you want to hash a situation out while you're drunk and you want to complain. You know, it doesn't work that way. You know, that's why when I've always said there's two ways of knowing if someone's an alcoholic, or if you can consider them an alcoholic. One, a casual drinker would drink whenever they feel like it. They don't have to drink every day. You know, it's, you can have a full bar, you know, at your home and not touch it once. An alcoholic is a person that feels they have to drink. You know, they may not have no liquor at home, so they're going to run to the store. They're going to run to a bar. They're going to spend money, you know, cause issues, cry. You know, everybody is a different type of drunk, you know, and then you got the ones that pick fights, you know, or the ones that want to remember things, you know, like I said, 2 weeks later. To me, that's an alcoholic. Someone that's, it's when it becomes a sickness or a need to have to do it. You know, like, I would say like weed is, I don't think it's contagious. I mean, it could be for certain people because they want to feel that way every time. And then they move to like things like cocaine or heroin. That's a hurricane. So heroin, you know, things like that, those are very, very, very addictive, you know, and those are things that if you try to get off of it, it pulls you back. Weed is something that it doesn't pull you back. You want to feel a certain way, or, you know, you want to feel, you know, drown out, you know, certain things, you know, relax your mind because you had a stressful day. You know, that's something that's more relaxing than like a cigarette. A cigarette is more contagious than weed would be, you know, in my opinion, because I've done both. I smoked cigarettes before, and I dropped it. Like nothing, you know. I still smoke cigars here and there, but I don't have to have a cigar. You know, in the past, like I'd say it's been over like 12, 13 years when I last drank a beer. And at one point I felt like every time I drank a beer, I had to have like a cigarette just to smoke something while I was doing it, to the time I actually threw up at a club because I was smoking and it like messed me up real bad. And I just dropped it. I said, okay, that's it. I won't ever smoke again. And I never have. I mean, I smoke a cigar here and there, but that's totally different, you know? So that's my little soapbox. How you feel when I say
it? I think that when people drink, you got certain people that, you know, they drink all the time when they get home to relax. It's how you deal with it, you know, and how you are around people. If some of them are just funny drunks or whatever, I'm the type of person, it's like every blue moon when I drink. And if I do, I'm ready to go to sleep. I can't handle liquor long. So it's like, you know, sleep time for me. But when people are functioning alcoholics and they become the type of person that become, you know, verbally abusive. They're not verbally abusive to everybody, but they become belligerent. And then the person that they think that hurt them, but they love that person, they just don't know what they do to a person. They don't know what trauma you putting this person through. You don't know what this person deal with in their past. So if they say they don't like this type of stuff, it's just, because I'm not the type of person. I may yell and scream because I done tried to conversate and, you know, mention it to people before. Hey, I don't like this. I don't like that. But then when I hold it in so much, I'm gonna yell and scream. Now, I'm not gonna wait till I get drunk to do it. I'm not gonna get the courage to get drunk and be like, oh, you are just a horrible person. No, I'm gonna have that discussion. Now, look, this is what I'm seeing as a pattern. But I don't like to just yell and argue or start an argument. I'm gonna say something after I'm just freaking confused and don't understand why you're doing what you're doing, and I keep bringing it to you. It's just so much that I can be Mrs. Garrett from Facts of Life, you know, with a calm demeanor. But when you get somebody with alcohol, you know, and a person that's Mrs. Garrett, you got a fire that's right there that's waiting to, you know, to in, you know, become a forest fire or California fire in the summertime, because Miss Garrett tired. So now she going back and forth with you, and that's where the physical abuse eventually will start coming in. And I mean, I've been there. I experienced that as a child, and to experience it in my adulthood, I don't think so. I can't. It's not something I'm willing to. If you gotta be so verbally abusive and you mad about something, you don't need to never talk to that person again. I feel. Let that person go and never talk to them. Block them. Do whatever you have to do. But don't try to cause, because you got trauma, try to cause turmoil in somebody else's life to make them feel bad.
Yeah, I feel you got to put yourself out of the situation. If they can't leave you alone, then you need to put yourself out that situation, because you don't need to put yourself through something you dealt with during your childhood, you know, and bring that back. Like, I mean, I told you before, you know, my dad was an alcoholic, but he seemed to be an alcoholic, you know, around payday or something like that. He wasn't like a person that, I wouldn't say he was a full-time alcoholic. I would say he's a part-time alcoholic. And the reason I say this, because he had his normal job. He did what he had to do, you know, throughout the week. It's just around payday, he got a little drunk, and, you know, he would stay out with his friends or fuck around, whatever the hell he was doing. And then he would come home and, you know, try to wake us up, you know. So we used to act like we were asleep, you know, not to, you know, carry it on any longer. So he would just go to sleep and you know, and not start going back and forth with my mom or anything, or my mom would start something with him or anything like that. You know, he would just go to sleep, you know, and that worked 99% of the time. You know, most times, you know, he would come to the room, we just act like we're asleep. He saw that he got no reaction from us, so he would just go to sleep as well. You know, so in my mind, I always said, if I ever grew up, you know, if I chose to drink, I'm gonna drink and drink at home. If I go out with friends, then I'll go out with friends, but I'm gonna be that person that, I don't wanna be the one that pick fights in clubs. Or in bars. I don't want to be that person that starts crying over someone, or, you know, slurring words, or, you know, get so drunk that I don't know where I'm going, you know, things like that. You know, I want to be the person that's a casual drinker. You know, I'll have a drink here. Now, if I'm challenging somebody and we're drinking, you know, to get drunk to see who, you know, who can handle more liquor, you know, be in that environment with people that who's going to help you, you know, that are not going to, you know, just leave you stuck with that situation or something like that, you know, responsibly, you know, do that at home or something. You know, don't be out and then come home and want to, you know, argue with your significant other or start something. Hey, you know what? 3 years ago, I remember you did this. You know, that's, you know, it's almost like a what is that? What is that called? I can't remember. When they bring up an old case and it's too old and they can't charge you with it. No, the other word is like
double jeopardy.
No, it's like the time ran out.
Ah, okay.
I can't remember. It's on the tip of my tongue. But yeah, so it's like it's too old to bring that up. It's like don't bring up a situation from last week, and because you're drunk and you're thinking about it, you know, don't bring it up now and try to, you know, start some, you know, some shit about it. You know, just move on. Mm-hmm. You know. Can you imagine, you know, being in a relationship with someone who can't forgive or forget, and they're drunk or they need some type of vice, and they, you know, just look for that perfect situation. Oh, you know what, Kim? Me and you, you know, you said no to me last week, and I didn't like that. Like, situations that happen should be handled when it happens, because like a person like me being a Gemini, and I know, you know, I can forget a lot of things. I can brush things under the rug, you know, to a certain point. But when you get me to that boiling point, there's not going to be no stopping. You know, I'm going to let you have it. I don't have to be drunk to do that. You know, it's like when somebody picks a fight with you, you know, you've seen these stories where somebody picks a fight with you. And you're like, nah, I don't want to fight with you. I don't want to fight with you. Just leave me alone. You know, and they don't stop it. They just keep going, keep poking the bear until the bear punches you back. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Mike Tyson said, everyone has, you know, a plan until you get punched in the mouth. You know, what are you going to do then? You know, it's too late. You already poked the bear. He's awake. That's it. You know, it's time to go down, you know. So, I mean, I think that the situation that you're mentioning, I mean, it's unfortunate that certain people act that way and they have to take out their frustration on another person and bring them down to a certain point just to make themselves feel better. I think that's very ignorant, and someone needs to, you know, basically put them in their place. Hey, you know, just leave me alone. Don't talk to me. If this is the way you're going to act from here on out, let's just, you know, just move our separate ways.
And I understand that you've been hurt, you know what I'm saying? And then whatever your hurt you deal with, that you think that me, or maybe me, being your partner, putting you through something too. And it's not that way. It's just how you perceiving it, that person coping mechanism to deal with you is to shut down and to step back. And I'm that type of person. So if I feel like I can't get through to you and you're doing stuff or believing stuff, I'm going to shut down and shut you out. I'm going to shut all. And that's my coping mechanism, not to go off on you, not to say nothing out of the way, and not to be a bitch, you know. And I like how, what is it? Hangover, I think it is. And Chen said, did you die? Well, it was a bad day. It was horrible. This is it. But did you die? You know, like, come on. It's bigger things that because this person didn't say something a certain way, or this person just not going through something else and they just mentally checking out, but they there physically and you got a problem with that because they don't want to argue with you. They don't want to start. And I feel like men is supposed to lead the woman, not match our fucking energy. Like, we the weak one, and it's okay for a man to be weak and have some things. I respect that more than I respect the man thinking he's so macho that he don't have feelings, you know. But damn, don't be a bitch about the whole situation all the damn time. You know what I'm saying? I can respect a man with emotions. I can respect a man to allow me to have my emotional breakdown. It may be, you know, every hour, but now I can respect that, but I can't respect that you want somebody to be your mama and you this 2-year-old boy. Nah. I'll rub your head. I'll cater to you, but God damn it now. I done raised, you know, many 2-year-old boys, and that shit wasn't pretty. So what you want to raise a 2-year-old grown-ass man? You know, it's ridiculous. Get your shit together. Figure out you. Get some fucking therapy, our Latino and black men, because you're fucking crazy. And women, we too, you know. It ain't that bad to talk to somebody.
Yeah, so, I mean, ultimately, you know, that those people that easily get broken and easily have to find a situation to make themselves feel better, mm-hmm. like you said, they need to go find counseling, you know, move on, you know, get something to make them move forward and stop looking back. Stop looking in the rear view mirror, you know, to a situation that happened already. You know, move forward, you know, get on with your life. Leave that person alone and stop trying to make yourself feel better. You know, just move on.
Mm-hmm. Trying to make yourself feel better by making somebody else feel bad. And I start to see this shit so much. It's so fucking crazy that you see your so-called friends at times. They going through shit. They want you to go through shit with them. Mm-hmm. Oh, my husband is doing this. So, girl, what about your dude? Oh, you remember your dude did and said this? You remember that?
Like, yeah, they're trying to bring up something, you know, negative on your side mm-hmm. to, you know, make their side look, you know, okay, like average. Or that man or woman that says, oh, you know, your man, your woman, you know, they're doing this, you know, fuck that shit. Let's go out. Let's go do this. Let's mm-hmm. go get drunk. Let's go, you know, and they put you in a situation that you're making it worse, you know, instead of giving you that, you know, positive, you know, advice. They're taking you in deeper into the rabbit hole. You know, that's why, you know, counseling is important, because that person is looking out for themselves. Ah, mm-hmm. girl, we should just go out, you know, or man, let's go have a guy's night out and just drink it away. And then, you know, only thing that's going to happen, let's say like the women or the men, they're going to continue drinking, pumping your head up and putting nonsense in there. And well, guess what? You're going to come home and that situation that was kind of calm is going to jump up to 100, because now you got that liquid courage in you. They didn't been pumping your head up. You know, your mind is like, you know, if your mind was already going 100 miles an hour, once you start drinking and start talking and people start pumping your head up, your mind doesn't know how to receive that. It ends up going the opposite way and going to like 1,000 instead of 100 or calming down. Oh, I'm just going to have a drink to calm down. No, now you have people, you know, talking and feeding your head with nonsense, and now you just went, you know, left field, which I've seen that in the past. And I think in certain situations that's happened to me, you know, maybe someone says, man, such and such did this, such and such did that. Why you allow them to do that? Why you allow this? You know, and that just, you know, puts you in a bad mood. Even if it's not, you know, it could be about a past relationship, and you think about it, you're like, man, that was stupid to do that. And you just start doubting yourself and start doubting your, you know, all your decisions that you've made during that time. And, you know, I think, like you said, just get some damn therapy, you know, get over it and you know, try to move on without, you know, making a small situation into a huge situation and have an all-out brawl.
Yeah, I think everybody has their rainstorm. Don't try to bring anybody through to your rainstorm, because your situation is different than theirs, and they're going to just encourage you or coerce you to do worse. So when I'm in my rainstorm, yeah, I want advice, but I don't want to bring nobody. So how your relationship going? I don't want you in my storm. This is my storm that I have to go through and figure some things out. And there's a reason I'm going through this storm, that you can't make me feel better. You know what I'm saying? I have to go through it because it's my learning time. This is my season to learn, or my moment to learn. And, you know, by trying to make somebody make me feel better, by saying, oh, well, remember he did you like this? Or somebody told me that this is why you, this person and you had a similar situation. Well, no, it's not fucking similar at all, because you got to get the bare facts. No, go through your rainstorm by yourself, boo-boo. And don't try to bring anybody in there. Now, yeah, we
can just say boo-boo.
Boo-boo. Yes, boo-boo. Don't try to bring nobody in there. Yes, you don't want to see anybody that you're associated with having a hard time or going through anything. And you apologize. But don't think that they can make it better. You're going through that for a reason. You need to learn something. Are you a selfish motherfucker? Yes, you are. So you're going through your storm to learn not to be a selfish motherfucker. You know, are you a person that thinks things supposed to go your way? Yes, people are leaving your life because you got to learn to understand that you can't be the center of the fucking attention all the motherfucking time. I can be in a box by my goddamn self and be so fucking happy than thinking everybody has to make me the center of attention. No, because I don't want nobody to feel what I feel. That's not fair to that person. Whatever I'm going through, I don't want to have them feel that. Now, if I'm going through it and I want to talk about it, yes. But I don't want you to feel what I'm feeling, because this is something that you don't want to impose on anybody. Now, do I want to get it off? Do I want to release? I'm not in therapy right now, but you're a person, an ear of listening. That's it. I don't need no advice. I don't need nothing. I just need somebody to listen. Let me get it off my chest for a moment. That's simple as that. And I'm the type of person, I'm such a giver, and I'm such a want everybody to be okay. And I'm just that type of person that I be just taking on everybody's stuff. Oh, you going through this. No. You got to go through your seasons. You got to go through your rainstorms. And you can't substitute it by getting drunk, shaking your ass in the club, thinking it's going to go away. I'm over it. No, you just covered it up. It's still there. You just covered it up.
All right. Look at that. So, in closing, just remember, when you're trying to provide some advice, you know, to a friend, you know, I'd say the first thing is, you know, just advise them to seek help. Mm-hmm. You know, seek a shoulder that's a biased shoulder that can listen to them. Even if it's not, you know, therapy or you know, someone that'll listen to you, you know, find find that one person that listens to you but's not responding just to, you know, give you an answer. You know, they're genuinely trying to help you and giving you that correct advice, because in this day and time, anybody can say anything, can give you the bad advice or try to steer you wrong. You don't know, you know, who's your real friend, you know, who's trying to lead you the wrong way, you know, who really cares about you. You know, if you can't seek a friend or you don't have a friend that can help, you know, find professional help. You know, most jobs, we said this before, most jobs have some type of situation, some type of counselor that you can reach out to that can give you some type of information, can perform some type of psych eval, you know, to get you past, you know, this situation. And then, you know, like we said in the beginning, be sure that you are listening to, you know, give the proper response, you know, listen to not just to answer what they're saying, listen to give them, you know, the correct feedback, you know, at that given time. And with that, I want to make sure that you guys are checking out our Instagram. I know we've been kind of slow posting anything. I got this person named Kim that don't play with it. She
don't
never
play
goes
with it, don't
on
play with none of that.
But I'm make sure you know, if you decide, you know, you would like to comment on any of the situations we have talked about, you know, you can comment on here on YouTube, or on any of our social medias, you know, or even, you know, on our podcast, or you want to be a guest, you know, please do that. You know, feel free to reach out to one of us at Even Me Podcast. And then, you know, just come on the show. We can talk about it. Anything you want to say, Kim?
No, yeah. So just to let everybody know, no, whatever someone has to say, there's no wrong, how can I say, way of saying it. Everybody has their own opinion, and we're very open to everyone's opinion here. So definitely, come on, let us know.
Come on, we listen to everybody here. Everybody has an opinion here. No matter what you say, no matter how much you hate Kim or dislike her. Or
oh, my God. Yeah.
All right, y'all take it easy.